is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation with Heart Grant is brought to you by Alive, Bahamas First, Bahamas Liquidation Center, Burger King, Central Bank, The Cleveland Clinic, Commonwealth Bank, Epic Battery, Marcos Pizza, Prince Masters, and Ron's Electric Motors.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. It is a beautiful, absolutely gorgeous, we're in the thick of summer right now, June 21st, 2025. We're out here. It's going to be partly cloudy today, 83 degrees. I was looking to see if it's going to be 1,000 degrees. It's not, so we could be able to kind of breathe again. Hope you guys are good out there. Hope you had a good weekend this weekend or last weekend. And I hope you enjoyed yourself, man. There's a lot of things going on. I hope you guys went out there to the pulled pork competition, pulled pork festival, I'm sorry, over at Arawaki for the Bahamas Baptist University College, being able to do that for you from 3 o'clock to 11 o'clock. I'm hoping that you enjoyed yourself. I had an opportunity to kind of pass by. Don't cuss me. I passed by, and I saw that it was some beautiful thing set up, man. I hope you guys had a good, beautiful kitty corner, and the whole thing was set up really, really nice. I was busy this weekend, kind of being able to do some things with my kids. And on Sunday, I had a great opportunity, some families down. I had a great opportunity to kind of be able to go to church. Great opportunity to be able to do some stuff. Great, great message on Sunday. Truly enjoyed myself in that kind of position. And I'm hoping that you did the same thing also. So let's talk about that. Bahamas Liquidation Center. Bahamas Liquidation Center. I want you guys to know to hold on. Bahamas Armada Carpet Ride Rug is a ride rug sale. Our Magic Carpet Ride Rug Sale is June 26th to the 28th. Buy one rug, get the second 50% off on Mackey Street. Don't miss it. Let me put this in my way. I like more than the little pretty rugs on your floor. I'm looking for a nice little Persian something. We're going to go down there and check that out. June 26th, you got 3 days from now. June 26th to the 28th. So you got 2 days of being able to get one rug and buy the second one 50% off. I don't know if you're like me. I just go in all these little stores and look for your rug. I like your little nice, little pretty rugs. I like that. Only issue I have is that I got to buy the little thing at the bottom that causes it not to slip. I never buy that. I need to get that, right? And so the edges don't kind of roll up. But anyway, go down there, guys, and make sure you pick up your rug. Pick up your Guardian newspaper. All the information's in the paper today. Make sure you do that, the Guardian newspaper. Parent attack principal on Grand Bahama Police say man used an iron object to hit her. This is a lot. This is a parent-teacher conference at the primary school of the Eastern Grand Bahama turned violent on Friday when an angry father hit the school's principal in the head with a piece of iron after collecting his child's report card. This is peculiar. This is the attack was swiftly condemned by the Ministry of Education, Technical and Vocational Training, which said in a statement on Saturday that it is working with police to pursue the appropriate legal consequences. So it's a cause, it goes on to say that the ministry said that the officials are also strengthening security on public school campuses and are working on limiting access to school grounds. It says officials, officers were called to McLeanstown Primary School around 10:30 a.m. on Friday after it was reported that the principal was assaulted by a man who was at the campus to collect his child's report card. Police said that the parent became irritated during a parent-teacher's conference about the report card. During the meeting, the father struck the principal with an unknown iron object. As if the principal received head injuries during the attack, and she was taken to hospital for treatment and was later released. A 27-year-old man was arrested in connection with this assault. I don't know the ins and outs, the depths and the details, but I don't think you should hit nobody for your children's performance or lack thereof. I don't understand the rationale between fighting someone else for your child's inability to absorb and apply information, if that's what's happening here. I often hear Glenn Rowe take on this kind of position to talk about the effeminate men, the men that has been reared by femininity and the qualities thereof. The logic eludes you. It's elusive. It escapes you. For you to be able to make a decision like this is bananas. It's wild. It's wild. And, you know, when you start to talk about McLeanstown, then this is not necessarily a high school. So you're still in a position where the child could be able to learn, absorb, and apply accordingly once you set the structure up, you know, properly for the children. But now that I see this, 27-year-old father, now you're going to lose your privileges as a father and the access of being able to rear your child accordingly simply because you allow your emotions to get the better part of you. This is sad. Let's talk about it, guys. In the papers today, a man killed off East Street also, and how the U.S. bombarded Iranian nuclear site without detection, right? They had the B-2 bombers being able to put out on that thing. But we did hear, no, that wasn't Governor Chris Christie. Oh, Lord, who was the governor? We heard a senator on Tucker Carlson say that you're going to be able to bombard Iran in about a few days. And Tucker put him to work. Oh, God, I got to get you that interview. Tucker put him to work and come to find out he was actually being able to release information prematurely, but it's actually what happened. It's an unfortunate thing that the world is on the cusp of another world war, and we don't necessarily recognize it. With the ushering in of this kind of a MAGA movement, this Make America Great Again, it seems as though, just from observation standpoint, as we step afar off and look at what's happening from a global standpoint and look at the inflections and the implications that exist the world over. Make America Great Again has many a country cowering on their knees. Is that what the objective is? Is this elevation and supremacy so very important that it seeks to be able to bring the world to its knees? This kind of proverbial, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall proclaim, shall tell that America is great. Yeah, with the use of B-2 bombers, with the use of any of these particular elements, you will cower also. Let's talk about those things, guys. I want you to be able to help me out. Give me a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of 5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. I got a call this weekend to talk about this mooring deal, right? It says, a bill may revive mooring deal. This is in the Tribune paper. The FNM says the maritime bill eerily similar to the abandoned project. This is the opposition voted against the Maritime Revenue Unit Bill over fears that it will revive the previously abandoned Bahamas mooring deals under the guise of the statute legislation. Now, I just want to be decent as possible. As I say this, Adrian White and Adrian Wright, the Senate MP, said that the Free National Movement has many concerns over the legislation designed to provide legal standing to the already established Maritime Revenue Enhancement Unit because some of the powers given to appear eerily similar to the Bahamas mooring, what the Bahamas mooring was attempted to do. The bill seeks to give a unit the power to provide mooring services for a fee, as well as install moorings, set a fee structure for the boats, and to use them and to conduct safety inspections of moorings. Now, this is peculiar. I gotta say this is peculiar because I see that we're getting into the murky waters of political jousting, right? I see that we're getting into these kind of murky waters. And I realize that the FNM seeks to be able to take its position and amplify it the world over, the country over, the nation over, to let you know that we stand strong on these particular issues. But we also know that these are the type of issues and relationships that will come right back to the forefront, and persons will be given what they seek in the event that the Free National Movement finds themselves in the position of power and authority. This is peculiar. This is peculiar to me that we take no consideration for what's happening from a larger standpoint, but we seek to fight what's before us right now without a very clear understanding that this will revisit you in due time and due season. I want to talk with you all today, man. There's a lot of things going on out here in the country. And like I said to you, I got this call over the weekend that says they want to talk about a great deal of things. I don't know if I'm ready for it just yet, but I'm doing some research and trying to be able to make a determination as to whether or not this is, if I'm ready for that. It just won't be decent. If I'm ready for that, you know, you may be ready for it, but I don't know if I'm ready for it. Yeah, because the fella tell me that Bahamian people getting litigious is heavy. Quick commercial break, guys. I want you guys to join me, 323-6232. 325-4316-325-4259, anywhere for the family of violence, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Quick break, going to be right back after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
Great news! Ranch Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery charges, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
When your hands are too full, life is just too complicated. Nala, Sally, come here. Uncomplicate. Go faster, safer, greener with the digital way to pay. With Tap to Pay, it's as easy as a gentle touch. No more headaches. Say hello to convenience. The future of pay is digital with options like credit cards, debit cards, online banking, and digital wallets. Make every experience unforgettable. Embrace the ease of digital payments today.
Now let me see now. 326 EPIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic? Ekid Battery? This Miss Bueller from round the corner. I hear you all selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker, and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326-EPIC. We ship also to the Family Island.
Foundation.
foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect. Please give me a call, 323-622-3225, 323-1632-525-9242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. It is peculiar. For me, it's peculiar. I just got to just listen to a voice note that start to be able to talk about the peculiar nature of the Bahamian people, whether or not we give consideration to what's happening the world over, and we relentlessly complain about what's happening internally in our country, and not giving yield or recognizing that there are wars and rumors of wars that is bombarding the way of life for right now Iran and other spaces. I also got a call this morning from a doctor. Says to me that he was listening to C.A. Nuri, and C.A. Nuri taking on this kind of a strong position. Well, not necessarily so, but just being able to have good conversation about what's happening as it relates to the governor of the Bahamas deciding to be able to present to the Cuban individuals, to the Cuban doctors, an opportunity to be able to work in the Bahamas to forge a relationship directly with them, as opposed to being able to go through their employer, which is the Cuban government. This is peculiar. All this is strange to me. Because geopolitics has placed you in a position where you don't even think a lot. You've forgotten your sovereignty, that's first. We as a nation, we've forgotten our sovereignty. That's the first thing. And secondly, we've been placed in this kind of position where we have to make a decision that goes against the rules, regulations, and the authority, the rule of land, what exists on our land. We're going past that to ensure that we can be able to satisfy the United States of America's position with this beta plan. Because all this is a beta plan. This is a beta test. This is a beta test between the Bahamas and Cuba. This is a beta test. The real show will be over the next 12 to 18 months in trying to slowly but surely sever the relationships that we have with China. Is it okay that we talk like this? Yeah, this may be a lot. This may be a lot today. This may be a lot to chew on. And then the meat might be dry also, so you need a little liquid to kind of to put this down also. Yeah, this is going to be difficult, but it's a necessary conversation. Whatever is happening with Marco Rubio being able to come out and say, take consideration, mind your relationship with what's happening with Cuba. They said it to 44, 45 million people in the Caribbean block. 45 million people. Mind your relationship with Cuba. This is a peculiar thing. You know, and I sit down here and I just think about it. And I say, you know, my good friend who went to school with me, he's a doctor now, right? I ain't gonna tell you where he is, but he's a doctor now. And he called me this morning. He said, Howard, you remember Cuba? I said, of course I remember Cuba. He said, I'm listening to them. I wasn't listening to the radio. And he and I started a conversation, maybe 15, 20 minutes. And just rich in nostalgia, reminding ourselves about the fact that our parents did not have the finances to be able to send us off to school. They just did not have it. There was this sort of a bright eye, bushy tail posture for Bahamian students who wanted education, who wanted to be able to find themselves in a better position that they can do better than their parents, and whose parents, our parents, wanted more for us at the same time. I worked my tail off in Burns' house, mopping floors, sweeping, fixing bear on the shelf, selling bear, carrying bear out the car, wiping down all kind of bottles and so forth and so on, and made my money and paid Mr. Campbell $1,000 that Cuba said I didn't have to pay him. but I paid him $1,000 of my own money to seek after higher education. I did that. And so many others did that. 320 of us in September of 2000 went to Cuba. 320 of us. And that has nothing to do with the contingent that was to Cuba before that. Has nothing to do with the contingent that was in Cuba in the 90s. That has nothing to do with the contingent that went after us. In September of 2000, my class and grouping went, 320 of us went to Cuba. And when we got to Cuba, we were shocked, upset with Mr. Campbell. Upset with him. Because we didn't have to pay for this. But absolutely astonished by the fact that Cuba flung its arms open to educate the entire Caribbean. 44 million of us. And said, if you want education, just come. Yeah. Cuba has been a source of education, tertiary education, for a great deal of us throughout the region. Many of us throughout the region, when they found ourselves sick and found ourselves in the position that we couldn't take care of ourselves and we needed an eye surgery or we needed this or we needed that, and Cuba offered you an opportunity to do that. You take your grandmother there, your auntie there, your cousin there, you got your teeth fixed, your back fixed, your mouth fixed, your this fixed, all those things, dirt cheap. And you were satisfied that now you can go on. If you even think, if you think about going to these particular places in the United States of America, you had to have your money. Now, you know, you can get top tier service the world over, but you had to have your money. Many of us didn't even have insurance. And we found ourselves in a position where Cuba was able to take care of us. It's sort of a wagging of the finger to say, mind your relationship with Cuba, places our government from a geopolitical standpoint in a quagmire. Maybe they're not sensitive enough to know that Cuba has afforded us a significant amount in the future. But maybe they're not even sensitive enough to know that this relationship has nothing to do with us in Cuba. This is in preparation for the real deal over the next 12 to 18 months, I'm convinced. This has everything to do with China and nothing to do with Cuba. I just want to say that. None of us, none of our leaders here locally or throughout the entire region are proactive in us to identify how are we going to satisfy and feed our populace, the people that we're responsible for, if we sever ties entirely or if America has taken on the position that they will not give us these things anymore. None of us have sat down and said, I think Cuba could produce these things. I sit here and I am perplexed. I wonder. America continues through the IMF, through World Bank, through all these particular entities to talk about the need to identify a middle class in our societies. And our governments take $23 million, $15 million, however much money, to try to be able to throw out an idea, but forget that we need more than just that. You can't rely upon a community. See, this is going to be a complex conversation. The government is relying upon a generation who has never seen hardship to be able to come up with ideas and to be able to ensure that there's sustainability in our society. A generation who was told to go off to America to get education, and that's how you're going to be able to survive. This is what the government relies upon. A conditioned generation who only knows education, better lifestyle, opportunities, America. They expect us to create a middle and be able to move forward with a little bit of capital thrown at it. America hasn't afforded us an opportunity and said, we're going to give you $25 million worth of cattle over the course of the next 5 years. They haven't said that to us. They haven't said, we're going to send you X amount of cows every year, X amount of hog or pig, X amount of this, X amount of that. We're going to send you goats. They haven't done any of this. They continue to be able to look at us with the expectation that we can do it ourselves. And none of us even asks for this. To disperse those particular things and have people work cattle, work ranches, work this, work that, and throughout the family violence. None of that. But you're sitting here waiting for somebody to give you something. And anytime America says, don't do this, you cut it off quickly. Bop. This is a peculiar thing to me. It's a peculiar thing to me. Simultaneously, the relationships that they're saying to us that we should be cautious of has always been able, there's reciprocity there. Yeah, both China and America. I'm sorry, China and Cuba. There's reciprocity there. Yeah. We go off to China, to China. China provides us an opportunity to be able to do that. Go off to China. China be able to, with the Belt and Road Initiative, not just give our finances and capital to our government, but to any organization within the Caribbean. They're building infrastructure. They're building roads. They're building opportunities. They're being able to be open to us. They're trying to find a way to be able to assist us. China, there's reciprocity in this space. When you look at Cuba, the relationship that exists there, we've been educated from a Cuban standpoint, so education and healthcare. They were the first to say, we can assist as it relates to COVID-19. The first to jump up and say, we can assist. It's just peculiar for me as in the lens of geopolitics and recognize that we are at a catch-22. That we're damned if we do and damned if we don't. Now we got to figure out which dam we're willing to go across. As a nation, we're now in a position of being able to yield to Trump, to the Trumpex posture that says, watch your relationship. We've yielded to Marco Rubio in his particular capacity. We've made the modifications necessary based upon what you desired. But now where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? Where's the reciprocity? Where are the opportunities that exist in this particular space? You're not saying to us that you're going to be able to give us an opportunity to be able to access immediately visas for our children who wishes to go to the United States of America. You're not saying that to us. You're not saying to us that you're going to provide us an opportunity to be able to make things happen. You know what you're saying to us? Excuse me. You know what you're saying to us? It says that U.S. says that student visa application. You have to make your social media profile public. One, two, they can scrape it from when you used to be on MS, on Messenger and High Five. When you started the interaction with other persons in other spaces, they're going back to all of this to scrape it, to make a determination as to whether or not you have any anti-American sentiments, as to whether or not they're going to give you a visa to go to school in the United States of America. You're judged on a world basis. And we've never had that relationship with America. And yet, we're not excluded. But we're making and genuflecting and quickly being able to ensure that we can satisfy them with being able to say, okay, no, don't worry about that. We can take care of our relationship. We have a bunch of weak leaders in this region. Weak. Including Mia Motley. Weak. There's no way that you could come here and hoot and holler about sovereignty, and as soon as the rubber meets the road with real tribulation, you come back and say, well, you know, we never did nothing to you. Oh, come on, man. It's weakness. And your citizens suffer as a result. How many students right now have to reconsider and pivot as it relates to whether or not we're going to school in the States? I know my daughter did. I tell her right off the top, I said, no, baby, I don't know how this thing is going to play out. Let's go to UB. Let's go to UWI. Let's do something within the region. Yeah. How many people are going to have to pivot as it relates to what's going to happen next. Our governments and regional leaders are not even sitting in a space where they can be able to pitch Harvard University or pitch places like Yale or wherever. It doesn't have to be these kind of high-profile spaces. And say, we want to make Grand Bahama a zone where education could be able to be free. Pitch them and say, why don't you make an annex location in Grand Bahama? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? The infrastructure's there. The people, why? No one's thinking beyond the fear of, is America satisfied with what we're doing? No one's thinking. This is not how we survive. This is a new form of servitude that we render out of our fear. And we have to fix this. We must fix this. It may not be that we can do this ourselves, but with 44 million people strong, knowing that we could feed ourselves, knowing that we can educate ourselves, knowing that South Africa or West Africa has afforded us opportunity to be able to educate ourselves and provide us the infrastructure, even the capital to assist us, yeah, we should be okay. We're falling right in line with the totalitarian concept that we didn't know during the campaign trail of what Make America Great Again is. This is global gentrification. I just want to be as decent as possible as I have this conversation with you. Let's take this quick break, guys. Going to be right back after this.
Foundation. Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Let your taste buds dive into a paradise with Marco's new Tropical Jerk Pizza. Enjoy a succulent grilled chicken pizza topped with tangy pineapples, zesty banana peppers, and our signature jerk sauce. Starting at just $12.95 and available in all sizes. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Make the right choice and order one today at marcospizzabahamas.com. No one makes pizza quite like we do.
No one likes a fender bender.
Aw, man.
From a little scratch to a full mashup, NUA Insurance has got you covered with auto insurance tailored to fit your needs and budget. For affordable rates with free on-site accident assistance, visit us online or in branch and just ask us. NUA Insurance. Ask us because we've got you covered.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. The lines are wide open. You can give me a call, 323-622-325-4316-325-4259. Anywhere for the family violence, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Good afternoon, Mr. Harwood, right? Okay, I like how you spell it, right? Don't know the full story, but your child is behind. If your child is behind on learning, no need to hit the teacher. The kid may need additional help with learning. These are my thoughts. As the text is coming through, yeah, a lot of the kids sometimes is on the spectrum, and I think maybe the parents kind of tiptoe on the spectrum also and don't know how to accept these things and view these things in the lens of, social shame. My child can't do this. You trying to tell me? And the teacher only could give you an honest evaluation of your child's performance, and you won't fight me. Don't fight me, baby. I didn't put this on your children. Telephone call on the line. Go ahead.
Who's Alan?
Everything good, man. What's up?
Yeah, everything good. I wake up this morning thinking, you know what I mean? Be ready for the World War III. That's what I... We could talk about everything else, but if we... Because it's coming, you know.
Eventually. Inevitably, yeah. I don't know if this is the onset for it, but I think that we could see that there is a shifting and things ain't gonna be the same no more.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out to be ready for that. We don't have no bunkers. We don't have nothing. And this war ain't gonna be where no soldiers think this could be a nuclear world war. That's why they trying to stop that country from producing themselves. Cause, you know, they had that bothered and Russia.
Wow.
You know? But I don't think people in this U.S. just get to relax or something. But I mean, this is a sign to us, you know. This is a sign for our country. We don't have nowhere to rest. Everything is shut down. We don't grow nothing.
Yeah.
This is the time now for these people who be putting in power, coming in, to realize that if we get shut off, see Cuba and Jamaica could always survive.
Mm-hmm.
You go in Fort Howard, all you see is made in Jamaica. This and that and all. We don't produce nothing. That's only rum and bear and thing and all that sort.
That's crazy. And you still need the hops and thing from somewhere. So even that we don't produce. I appreciate the telephone call, man. Thank you so very kindly for that. I can be honest with you. As I look at this, I think that there is a shift about afoot. Okay, I cannot say to you that I see a world war happening now. I can't. I ain't one of these prophetic. I can't do this, right? I can't say that there has been sort of an irate position and such an indifference and sort of the clashing of heads from different countries to place them in this kind of a position. I can't say that to you. I can't. But I can say to you, from this region, from this space that we live for, what has affected us? The introduction of the tariff war, right? All right? And then the shifting, the increase, and we ain't got nothing to do with this. And then they put everyone 10% up, 10% everyone. And then China went up to 145%. So I said, okay, hold on, wait. And then they came back with this immigration standpoint. And then from an immigration standpoint, they start to be able to ban certain countries. And so from entry into the United States of America, including Venezuela, including Haiti in this particular region. And so I know that there is coming a shift. That's it. That's all this is. This is coming a shift. And I don't think people understand what this campaign has done. This, for me, if our governments are sharp enough, if the people responsible for leadership and leading the country is sharp enough to realize and recognize, this is right-sizing America and strategically seeking to put it back in the place that it envisioned and it sees itself. That's what Make America Great Again is all about. This is just me. This right-sizing of America, this eradication of relationships that didn't necessarily feed America, that didn't take care of America, America's relationship that continued to be able to give, and there wasn't any reciprocity in these particular spaces, and severing those tides and trying to be able to right-size itself to ensure that it commit itself to its citizens, and then the world recognizes the power as they continue to be able to call on those favors that they've yielded and given the world over. Yeah. So America is seeking to be able to ensure that it right-sizes itself, it's eradicating corruption, it places itself back at the authority from the global standpoint as a superpower. This is what America seeks to do. If you don't recognize that you have to be able to deal with certain things internally in your country, what has caused your country to bleed and bleed and bleed and bleed money year after year after year? Corruption, thiefing, hiding, letting people come in to all of these borders and all these particular spaces. ignoring the fact that this is a luxury yacht and that the fact that they bring in 300 guns or potentially bringing in all kind of drugs, you've ignored that. You've ignored these things. You have all sorts of things creeping into your borders. And we haven't dealt with any of this. We're trying to be able to satisfy America, but simultaneously we haven't done anything on our side to ensure that we could right-size our community. Nothing. You haven't done anything? What have you done to deal with corruption other than wait and hold your breath that we don't see some head of state or high-ranking government official be identified in this these allegations with corruption out of the Royal Bahamas Police Force? What have you done? What have you done rather than hold your breath and then we've heard between here and there about the fact that certain officials have gone off and had a conversation with these particular persons who are being held in New York? What have you done? What have you done to be able to right size and ensure that the corruption that exists in these particular places is identified and being able to be weeded out? You've done nothing. We've been bleeding and bleeding and bleeding money. If we go by the stats of what the former prime minister stated, $500 million a year is lost to corruption. Million a year is lost to corruption. And many people have placed themselves in this position where they live off of this corruption. That's their lifestyle. But we got to dry that up. And if we don't fix that, if the next administration who seeks to be able to find themselves in the position of authority in this country, if they don't deal with this head on, then we need to reconsider whether or not we even vote for these people. This is a real, real, real issue. Let's take a next telephone call. Caller, go ahead.
Brother Grant.
Hey, what's happening?
How are you, sir?
All is well?
Yes, all is well, sir. Do not take it personal. Would I be right to say that you are a believer?
I am.
Thank you. Very good. Thank you. So do I. But I am not perfect. I have my deficiencies. You were born in Grand Bahama. Would I be right on that?
Yes, sir.
You grew up and schooled in Grand Bahama?
100%.
Yes, sir. I saw something on a video circulating in the Bahamas and also the incident in school. How do you feel about the spiritual values in Grand Bahama as you see it?
I don't feel like the spiritual values in Grand Bahama differ from any spiritual values throughout the Bahamas. I think they're all declining, eroding, and depreciated.
Have you heard about a man called Reverend C.A.W. Sanders?
Yes.
Do you believe the principal of that school as to that incident and that video, do you think that he would have allowed that?
I couldn't say that when people accost you, that if you could allow it, you still get accosted. Now, if you can fight back or you stand your particular position, it's a whole different story. But if people accost you, unbeknownst to you what their intentions are, you can't preempt that.
I don't know, and I'm not one to judge. But I am quite sure that there are many principals, the older ones. What happened at that school, I think, is a big letdown as they celebrate this young guy and he being supported in his behavior. Something must be wrong with that. To see the people in Freeport allow that behavior and they stand by and cheer that behavior. They fight and support it. But a young man who is not working, who is going to the school and being supported by adults, something got to be wrong with that. I don't know. Something may be wrong with me, but I see something is definitely wrong with that, being promoting that lifestyle as one who is graduating from school in a prom.
You mean the fellow who went to the prom with the green setup and paraded in a particular manner?
I don't want to get in any trouble.
I saw
all
it.
I'm saying to you is this, that I call to know that I believe that you are a believer.
Yeah.
And at the video that is circulating, that was supported by an adult. I can't see no Christian adult allowing that boy to use that school and Christian adults sit by and flout that behavior lifestyle. Wow. Something has to be wrong with that.
That's a deep conversation. I appreciate your telephone call. That's a deep conversation that I don't have a problem being able to get in, but I could say to you, as I see this, there is an acceptance. It doesn't start with a particular lifestyle. It starts with an acceptance in school. It starts with an acknowledgement, and mostly by women. I just won't be decent as I say this. It's going to be a difficult conversation, but it is. This starts very softly and very quietly, because no one wants to be a loner. And so when you present yourself living alternatively or living contrary to what society says that this is the path that we're taking, you need to find a grouping that accepts you so you're not going to be an outcast. And when you find that particular grouping and they continue to be able to give you this mantra and these accolades, and they continue to be able to pour positivity in you from, I don't know, I mean, from whatever perspective they're doing that, then you're empowered. You feel empowered and you feel the necessity for being able to do this. And so people may have seen that he's lived a particular lifestyle for a long time, and they say, well, that's just who he is. And so this acceptance has traveled with him by his parents, by his guardians, by his family, maybe not all of them, but definitely by the elements and the pillars in his life. They've accepted this. They've accepted these things by every step of the way, and by his teachers and the authority that exists in those particular spaces. We're living in an age where people get to make their own decisions. We're living in an age where you're not isolated to a particular space because you decide that you want to go contrary to what society says that you want to do. So you either accept it or you don't. I don't know whether or not we should condemn the man and put him in hell. But I think that this all begins at home. And I can't beat my children to carry my faith. I only could live in accordance to my faith. And they have to decide based upon my rhythm, based upon my execution, based upon my posture, based upon my conviction, based upon my lifestyle, as to whether or not they want to align with that. And obviously, if we're only looking at it from a fruit standpoint, parents, guardians, teachers have yielded to the alternative lifestyle of this particular young man. Yeah. Now we know where the strong man exists. If you want to talk like that, we could do that. Let's take this quick commercial break, guys. Get to news and be right back after this.
Foundation. The Foundation. We'll be back right after this. The Foundation. The
Foundation. This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
Foundation. Foundation. The Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. For the last comments that I read, I got some information just now. I tried to call them and I got no answer. This is from the Anglican Central Education Authority, the Diocese of the Bahamas and the Turks and Caicos, with in the Addington House, Sands Road. All the information's in there. They gave me the number. They gave me everything. And this is, they get their motto. They get everything laid on it for immediate press release from the desk of the Director of Education and Supervision, Mr. Alfonso Major Jr., alleged prom in the name of Bishop Michael Eldon School. Let's read it and see exactly what's what, so all of us could be on one page as we get through this thing. It says the Anglican Central Education Authority, the ACEA, has been made aware of videos circulating with respect to a prom in the name of Bishop Michael Eldon School. We wish to advise the public that no prom was planned, executed, or organized by this administration, for this faculty or staff of Bishop Michael Eldon School. Additionally, we Additionally, no approval was given to the Education Department of the Anglican Central Education Authority to host this event under the banner of the school's name. The ACEA and, by extension, Bishop Michael Eldon School has no affiliation with the event and takes no responsibility for the action of those who organized and attended this event. The ACEA is committed to upholding Christian principles and providing quality education in an environment that values and subscribes to the Anglican ethos, its morals, beliefs, and practices, and does not condone the actions displayed. This is from Alfonso W. Major, who is the Director of Education and Supervision of the Anglican Central Education Authority. Now, I read this, and I had to do a little bit of research to find out whether or not there is a, whether or not the position of what's existing within the Bahamas and the Turks and Caicos is juxtaposed what's happening from a global standpoint. And this is what I've come up with, right? What I've come up with is this sort of an idea. Well, not necessarily an idea, but information that talks about the global Anglican Church. In 1998, they declared that homosexual practices is incompatible with Scripture and prompting the conservative bishop to reaffirm a traditional stance. In 2022, Human Dignity Call that reaffirmed the division between the communion, calling homosexuality a sin in many provinces and stating that a change in teaching was not in doubt for many, right? And then it goes on to say that the Anglican Consultative Council in 2020 and 2016 called for walking together despite deep disagreement on doctrinal alignment. This is information that I just pulled up. And then it started to talk about the national position from the Anglican provinces. It talked about the Church of England in 2023 introduced the optional prayers of love and faith to bless civil same-sex unions, but explicitly upheld that marriage remains between a man and a woman. Other provinces, including Canada, Australia, and South Africa, allowed blessings or pastoral support, but not official same-sex marriages. Most maintain doctrinal restrictions while reaffirming celibate LGBTQ inclusion. And here in the Bahamas, more specifically, the statements from the local leadership, example, Bishop Drexel Gomez, who's retired, affirm traditional teaching that same-sex marriage is not permissible and homosexual practice is considered sinful. There's no formal shift in the official position. Instead, like many other provinces, they seem to follow the via media approach, allowing pastoral care, but not doctrinal change. This is exactly what I'm saying. There is no condemnation. There's no preaching. There's acceptance. In many particular instances, there is a perpetuation of a particular idea. You water it, it blooms, you see it come to the forefront, and now the entire country is like, oh my God, I can't believe this. What do you mean you couldn't believe this? This boy was doing this from he was a child, a little boy. And this is his quote-unquote sort of a coming out, if you wish. And either you accept it or you have not accepted it. Listen to the support behind this young man as he exit the vehicle and being able to have his trail. Huh? This like the trail that we hear in Revelations. This was a long trail. And he's out there adorned to the gods in his particular posture. Yeah, somebody accepted this. Somebody assisted this. Somebody nurtured this. Somebody developed this. And now that the Anglican Church seeks to be able to separate themselves from it from an official standpoint, we can't fight them, but this is an acceptance in our society. Yeah. Children are now circumventing the authority that exists in school to ensure that they can be able to enjoy the ideas of celebration that they see on pictures, in movies, on screens. And so there aren't many persons that sit in the position of authority over proms and dances and all these fetes and all these other things like that. But the children seek to get into debauchery the way that they've been taught. Oh, God, y'all don't have no good conversation, you know. Y'all don't want to talk real with me. You want to condemn the man family, the little boy family. You want to condemn everybody. But y'all nurture this as a society. As a society, you just can't believe it actually showed up. You know, I had shifting clouds one time. The thing started on my foot. It started on my foot. Oh, I didn't know what to do. Man, this is so horrible on my foot. It was black. And then I tried to be able to put all kind of fungi. I've been to Dr. Kavala and ate Maroc. I do everything. And the thing wouldn't move. Man, the thing was, I couldn't believe that I take steroids for this fungi on my foot. You hear me? And then I get to a point where the fungi couldn't, it wouldn't move. The shifting clouds, it wouldn't move. So I said, okay, it's on my foot. I guess I just got to be able to hide it. I'm telling you the truth. This is what's happening. I'm giving you an analogy. I guess you put it in socks and put it in shoes. It's no problem, right? The thing shift. Then it shift to my leg, on my thigh, on my stomach, then on my back. This happened over the course of time. Can I say this to you? As long as it was under my clothes, I never said anything about it. I left the fungi alone. And then it show up on my face, shifting clouds all over the left side of my face. Jesus, I can't understand this. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Now I'm feverishly trying to be able to rectify this so the public doesn't see fungi on my face. I get in your point here. I'm trying to get somewhere with you. Yeah, you may have tried to do something with the introduction of being able to see an alternative lifestyle pop up in the little boy. But as long as no one saw it, as long as he kept those particular things under wraps, as long as he could be able to be a functioning, he could function as a straight young boy, you had no problems with this. That's society. Society has no problems with hiding it in their socks, in their shoes, under their shirt. Once no one can see this, this indication of what our society has become, we have no problem with this. But oh God, when they show up on your face and you can't do nothing about that, now you want to levy condemnation, but you have nurtured it. You have taken care of it. You have watered it. You have watched it blossom. And now as it shows up, you got a problem with it. These things don't just happen overnight. For years, you have lived in this particular manner. For years. I tell you, there was this boy in our school. We used to call him Sissy from grade 2. Second grade, this boy come to school in bra. In a bra. In second grade. And this wasn't a bra. This was like the 98 latches on the back of the thing, like what Grammy him had, like the brassiere, the long one, right? He had this on. In the second grade. The second grade. And us, being the children that we are, we call him Sissy, 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 Sissy. No one helped him. No one nurtured him. No one told him what it was to be a man. All the teachers recognized this about him. They saw him with a lisp and being able to give more S's to certain conversations. And they accepted it. They accepted it. He came in the seventh grade and he would wear clothes for a toddler. So this clothes was tight and it looked like a little, you know, like a little bra on him. And he came to school like this. And no one levied condemnation on him. No one assisted him. Now they just call this boy mother. In real life. I don't know why you won't condemn it after it come to the forefront and you've nurtured it the entire time. That is our society. You have nurtured murderers and killers and liars and whores and rapists and thieves. You have nurtured this. You have said to your children, watch out for Junior. Don't let the baby stay around Junior. You haven't done anything to rectify this desire, this unquenchable desire to touch little children in Junior. You just tell the children stay from around him. Now you got a beast on your hand. And you, oh God, I don't know what happened. Yes, you know what happened. You know what happened. Why do we play fool? You're here playing fool. My Grammy say, pig does grow hog. I can't even get no amen. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Everything good, man. What's happening?
Yeah, everything all right. Yeah, man, you got to nip things in the bud, you know? Got to nip in the bud. But, Howard, before I make my little point, I was listening to the news report, and I didn't really get a full understanding of the machine that Dr. Darbo was saying they were experiencing problem with the at the hospital. Do you know what that machine is for?
I don't know. I got to call him and find
out. Some imaging machine or something?
I'll call him and find out more information before I even comment on it. So.
Because, I mean, you know, it'd be good if you could follow up on it and just make sure, like, because I just want to know what the machine does, et cetera, because I just want to see if by that machine being down, if it opened the door now for somebody else in the private sector to be making some money, and how long that machine could be down for, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you know how they go around, yeah. But anyhow, but Howard, I was listening to, I just happened to come across Dr. Kevin King,
mm-hmm.
I think that's his name, who had the, that party, he was the political party in the last election or something, Kingdom Government. Or something.
Yeah, I remember, yes.
Yeah, and man, he was on Steve McKinney's show, I heard his recording.
Okay.
And he was explaining how the, I think it's in our constitution, some kind of how it's happened, but how the IMF or whatever was made our trustee, right? And how from 1992, he said that there's not been a policy from 1992 that came from us. Everything else has been coming from outside. Everything else, right? And you see, that was important to me because I've been saying on the radio for some time that the people need to understand how government runs and exactly what it is that our individuals who we elect, exactly what it is that they do. You know what I mean? Because I mean, just to make a quick reference, I mean, because sometimes you see them in the House of Assembly, and some of them could barely read. You understand? They could talk good, but some of them could barely read. You understand? So when you have people who are supposed to be your legislators or whatever, making laws and different things like that, like you would expect the most intelligent people who could reason and who could be critical thinkers, etc. You know what I mean? Because see, I've been saying that all of our policies and all of our laws come from outside, that our leaders don't have anything to do with it. The only thing they have to do with it is bringing it to us and passing it, making it law. That's all they do, and that's why their job is part-time. And I mean, to be honest with you, it's incredible that you could be the leader of a country and you only have a part-time job. That's a part-time job.
You want it up right now.
When you think about it, Howard, I mean, everybody else got a full-time job and their job don't even have that kind of responsibility. You understand? So it explains why they don't need that time to try and figure out policy, because when they go into office, if you get elected to a political party tomorrow, and especially if you're the cabinet minister or something, when you walk in your office, right, your to-do list already on your desk. You understand? Your job is to shuffle through them papers that are already on your desk, that to-do list, and figure out what you could pass in your time. And then whoever come in behind you, even if it's the next political party, they got that same to-do list on their desk. Because we don't govern ourselves. You understand? We are an instrument of the IMF. We will never go against any policy of any real significance against IMF, that IMF would not want us to go against. Because we are under their control.
That's heavy what you're saying right now. I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. You're getting deep with me. And I will say this. You started off like this. You said you heard this conversation. And the conversation started to talk about that the IMF has made the trustee of the Bahamas. I got to find this information out. I wrote this down. And he said since 1992, all the policies has been from an external standpoint, being able to come into the country. I could see some merit in that. Not all. Right? I can't say that 100% of the policies that has come forward has been as a result of a demand being placed on our country to change. but I could see what you're saying. I could see if we take those particular elements and we identified what's happened from the external standpoint. Okay, so this is a deep conversation. Let's go back to 1992, the introduction of a government in the sunshine, right? The government of the sunshine came in and made these sort of declarations to ensure that there was a true sense of democracy that existed in our space, right? And one of the first things that they did was being able to look at the media spaces, all right? So they liberated the media spaces in many instances. Now, this is as a result of the Free National Movement not being able to get the proper airtime on ZNS. You remember this. The Free National Movement was not given the access and opportunity and the proper media exposure when they were doing their rallies, their this, their that. They were blocked on almost every end. So they diversified their portfolio and ensured that this wouldn't happen again, and they distributed accordingly. Now, we as a society benefited from that. And this was the introduction of democracy. But this is an issue that begun within the FNM and their inability to be able to access on a national platform how to be able to reach the electorate. Okay, so they did that. Okay. Now, if you look at the Immovable Properties Act, right, many would take on this kind of position to indicate that this was an external entity to empower persons from an external standpoint and didn't do much for us internally. Many would take on that kind of a position, right? And so we could travel through from 1992 up to our current time and dissect each one of the policies, the bills, the laws that came to the forefront and say whether or not this benefited us directly or indirectly. But I couldn't take on this kind of a strong position and indicate that this was a directive to say, make these modifications to ensure that you can satisfy an external entity. And if the Bahamian electorate or the citizens benefit from it or they don't, to hell with that. Let's just do what is required in these particular spaces. I don't necessarily know if that's what's happening in the country. All right. So I have to be able to put that on the table and have this kind of a conversation with you, right? 3262-32-325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere for the Family of Islands, 242-300-5720, hit me up, 422-4796. Maybe the Commercial Enterprise Bill, it can be argued that this was as a direct, sort of a direct position to ensure that those persons from an external standpoint, for the expedience of business being done, for the fact that we have been recognized as a country where the ease of doing business was extremely difficult. I think we was at 121 at the point, 120 something. And the Free National Movement Administration came up with this particular concept to provide a level of instant gratification for those particular persons who came in to the country seeking to do business. That if it wasn't done through formality within a two-week period, then automatically these particular things would be done, right? And so that can be argued. But then you got to juxtapose that with this sort of an idea that a lot of persons, especially when we watched the documentary for the fire fair, for the fire festival, right, where persons are met who seek to do real business in the Bahamas with this sort of an idea and those proverbial gatekeepers that says, hey, listen, you got to give me something before you can get to the next door. You got to give me something before you get to the next door. And so maybe the government, the FNM at the time, was thinking to supersede this issue. And we watched the PLP do the exact same thing. To supersede these issues, then we can be able to create this particular entity to give instant gratification to those people who want to do big real business in this country. The PLP did the exact same thing. There was a lot of corruption coming out of the passport office at one point, right? And there was sort of a slowdown. You couldn't get these particular things done. You'd go to the passport office. People tell you you got to wait some time. You slide them a couple of dollars. Then you can be able to get some things. So you supersede so much persons. And Fred Mitchell came in and said it's going to be $200 for you to be able to get these things done. And you watch this kind of a swift approach of how things were getting done at that time. So governments try to be able to figure out not necessarily to eradicate the corruption or the perceived corruption at the forefront, but they seek to supersede it by being able to implement something different, right? which is not necessarily always good for the citizens of the country, but it provides a level of, it levels the playing field, rather, in those areas. Let me take one more telephone call. Call on the line, go ahead.
Howard, good afternoon. How are you?
What's up, Jeff? Everything good?
My brother, all I can do is say to you, this matter of corruption is still very prevalent in this country.
Yeah.
And it's happening in all these levels. Right now, today, I'm dealing with a matter where it's apparent that tipping seems to be the only norm to get people to do the job that they're already being paid by the taxpayers to do. And it's happening especially with our utilities companies. Because, it's really ridiculous that a person can pay for services a whole month and a half. And, you know, you have to rely on utilities, whether it be water, electricity, or telephone. And yet, you know, having to wait a whole month, then to be told that they come back in another 5 days with the hopes that you may get the utility. It is really ridiculous. You know, and there's no one really to complain to. I believe that this corrupt act is happening from the top and the bottom, and it's even kind of permeated even into our other social networks, national insurance, and so on and so forth. We've hearing these stories over and over and over, and it seems as if there is no recourse to have these persons do the job that they're already being paid by the taxpayers to do. You know,
yeah.
You talk about the ease of doing business in this country. It is not easy doing business in this country.
No.
You
well,
know,
but not for you.
We just finished having the same conversation.
It ain't easy for you. It ain't easy for me. Two things ain't easy for you and me in this country. Business and getting money.
Okay.
Unless you want to go on vacation or, you know, unless you want to go buy a car or go on vacation, then you could be able to access funds. That's no problem. But if you want to start a business and be able to get into business and utilize the bank's money and so forth and so on and identify avenues for those things, for real entrepreneurialism to exist, they put a million pieces of red tape in front of you. And that's a difficult thing. You can't get no money, you can't get no business.
Well, I can tell you something right now. I want to put a company on blast right now, but I'm holding short.
Hold on, for Jesus' sake, give them
a little more time.
Praise God.
Do what they're supposed to do.
Don't put them on blast on my show. Go.
No, I am saying now. I would want to put them on blast, but only the good Lord Himself is holding me back. And how would you know me?
Praise God.
I'm not afraid to blast people out. I can tell you, if these people don't get this thing right, I'm ready to go to the good minister herself.
Okay.
And that's all I can say on that. To make a major complaint. I asked for the general manager. There's no general manager for the operation. They only have a CEO and a COO. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give them 3 more days to make this thing right.
Three good days.
I'm going to put them on blast. I'm going to call them up by name. Okay? Because this is ridiculous. It is hard that you have to use your own financial resources to try and put yourself at a point where you're trying to survive in this country, but yet your own personal resources is being held hostage because people are not doing what they're paid to do, what they're supposed to do, and looking for tips. This is a bunch of nonsense in this country, okay? That's all I'm going to say on this
now.
But 3 days' time, you count it.
Three good days.
If you get this right, I will blast them out.
Thanks I appreciate you, my brother. Three good days, like Matty say. Three good days. I'm giving you 3 good days. Listen, on the 3rd day, don't call this show, eh? Go blast them out someplace else. I just want to be decent with you. But blasting out on social media works also. I just want to let you know that, all right? Let's take the quick commercial break, guys, and be right back after this.
The foundation. The foundation.
The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else. All to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Living paycheck to paycheck? At Fidelity, we can help you take control of your money, build savings, and create a financial future you're proud of. And we'll do it free of charge. Transform your financial future with our coaching sessions today. Make that move. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Now let me see now. 326-EPIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic? Eckett Battery? This Miss Beulah from round the corner. I hear you are selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. On Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker, and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326-EPIC. We ship also to the Family Island.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere, on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of persons thought that we had a particular thing set up. No. We're just talking about some of the issues that we continue to be able to be confronted with from a national standpoint. I did start off with being able to talk about our relationship with exists with Cuba and the relationship that has existed and continues to thrive that exists with China, and how America has placed itself in the position of being able to make America great again. And it seems as though, just through observation, that the entire world is placed in this position where making America great again will depreciate our value and pinch away at our sovereignty. And that's just, you know, some of the conversation that we've had at the beginning, at the onset, that says we now have to reevaluate our relationship with Cuba, a relationship that yielded reciprocity, that we gave them what they were looking for. They gave us education. They gave us healthcare. They gave us access. They gave us opportunity. And for all of those who get a little vacation time, talk to me. You go to Cuba and you find yourself alleviated in certain spaces. Yeah, Cuba has been a space for the Caribbean, for us to be able to explore something new being able to get a sort of a glimpse into old world and how things existed and how they still sort of live in those spaces. And I said that relationship that exists in the dismantling or the seeking to dismantle the relationship that exists between the Caribbean, more specifically the Bahamas, and Cuba has nothing to do with what is on the surface. This is, in my view, very humbly, a beta test for what we can expect over the next 12 to 18 months with the introduction to a conversation to say, reevaluate your relationship with China. And because we've quickly genuflected to what they've done with Cuba, there's only an expectation to do the exact same thing over the course of time. And I don't know whether or not our governments are seeing those things. Then we started to talk about this young man in Grand Bahama who's come out to prom and really, quote unquote, come out to those particular spaces, and how the Anglican diocese and Turks and Caicos has kind of pulled back and say that, hey, listen, we have no affiliation with that. And this doesn't line up with the ethos of what we have in these particular areas. There's a lot of things happening in this country. And I think it all boils back to dealing with what exists. I often say this to you, and if we didn't have this conversation for some time, I'd like to reintroduce it to you. What we've seen happen in Abaco, oh, this is going to be a difficult one. What we've seen happen in Abaco with Dorian and how the hurricane sat, and then we didn't hear about the mud and pigeon peas. The mud and pigeon peas was stewing for decades, a generation. The mud and pigeon peas stewed in Abaco for a generation, expanded. We've heard about generators that pump fueled, and there was people in the mud and pigeon peas that lit up the entire community, and people would come in, there were no documentation, so forth and so on. The hurricane sat on Abaco and eradicated that issue. I don't want to seem mean or insensitive to this, to the lives that were lost. Outside of the 55 that our government had said officially, they've seen that. We've heard enough stories, and we recognize the ferocious nature of a hurricane, that for the amount of persons that existed in these particular areas, we know that some lives have been lost. Now, I'm convinced, this is not documented, and there's no information to indicate these things. But based upon what I've collected, I'm convinced that a significant amount of lives may have been lost to the waters, to the community, to all these particular things. Okay. Now, the mud and pigeon peas was absolutely eradicated. Remember we talked about this? Remember we talked about when you drive a proverbial demon off? Let's be decent, man. You'll just follow me and don't think that we're just trying to, you know. Oh, he's trying to get preached. No. Just when you drive a proverbial demon off, right, and you don't fill that space with the level of occupancy and positivity that is required in this space, if you don't fill this space with structure, with principle, with a sound understanding for a path for growth and development, when you look back at this space, it'll be amplified seven times it was ever. Seven times. That's a principle of life. Before you and I was born, after we go, this is a principle that will exist in the space that we are in. This is a principle of life. If the thing go and you don't fix the space that it left, that the tribulation left, if you don't ensure, they put a fence around the thing. Look here. They put a fence around the mud and pigeon peas. And the people make all kind of shanty town all the place else. Yeah. This perpetuation and an idea of being able to see issues not dealt with would only come home, the chickens would only come home to roost. And that's what we have in this country. Our governments identify, articulate, being able to give a position, especially when they're in opposition, about what they're going to do, and if they ever get a chance, and how the government is bad about doing this, and this administration is horrible about doing it, and no one ever fix nothing. All they do is put a rug over it. That's what they did. The mud and the pigeon peas had a rug over it for years. They kick a rug out. They kick the dirt under the rug for years. Even when the former prime minister sat in this particular position, when the strength of the former member of parliament that exists in these particular areas, no one did anything in Abaco to be able to rectify these issues. And this is what we see along the country, throughout the country. There are issues after issues that have not been identified, rectified, and been able to put the proper structure in space, in place, for there to be productivity, for there to be an opportunity, for there to be true growth and development. And so, boom, it perpetuates. Come on, man. Talk to me about these particular things. This is where we are. I don't care what you're talking about. Whether that's healthcare when it comes to diabetes, whether that is if not being able to ensure that you have the proper prophylactics as it relates to being able, and preventative steps to ensure that there isn't a contraction of HIV and AIDS, whether there isn't proper education as it relates to being able to avoid cancers, whether or not there's all of these things work intrinsically together. And it yields and brings forth the demon that you've been nurturing for the entire time. I got to tell you this, man. I got to tell you this. We got to talk like this. And to the caller that called, I wanted to say this to you. To the caller that called that started to be able to talk about these things, there's no need to even say that. There's no need to talk about us and take on this position to say that Dr. Kevin King has been talking about these things and trying to be able to do. Y'all, let's vote for these same man, them who come to your door. They come to your door with the same lies and you ain't ask them nothing. Same, they come to your gate, they come to your door, they sit in your house, they tell you the same lies. Or, let's not call it lies. They sell you the same dream. You buy the dream, and after there's no realization of this particular thing, now you're mad at them. What you mad for? These men are a representation of the insatiable desire of our society. That's who they are. You normally don't see righteous people stepping up into these particular spaces. And if they are, many, I can't say all, many of them have the accoutrements of righteousness, decency, and order, but they have already drank the Kool-Aid of an organization who desires to go contrary or to carry out their particular agenda. That's it. That's it. We sit in this position and we point fingers at people all day. You wrong, you this, you that, and never take any consideration that we played a part in putting these people in place. What you even talking for? You played a part in putting these people in here. You remember one time ago, said, don't blame me, I vote PLP. You remember that? Don't blame me. You remember that? You remember the tribulation that popped up in our society and we saw little small fires of tribulation here, proverbial fires, not the actual fires. Little small issues pop up here, little small issues pop up there. And then the PLP campaign at the time, this was post-defeat. They've already been defeated now. This was, I think, it's in 1997. Don't blame me. I vote PLP. There's no major issues. I think the FNM had done well in 92 and in 97. But the PLP's campaign in preparation for 2002, don't blame me, I vote PLP. This is the concept and idea that exists out here. The perpetuation of the exact same thing. We are participants in our own demise. We're participants. These people come to your house, they sell you a dream, you sit down there, and you like that dream. And you buy it. And now you want to hold them accountable to what you thought they should have done. But that wasn't a part of the package of the dream. Ain't nobody tell you they was going to do that. We give you the blueprint for change. We lay out these particular things. We never tell you we're going to do what you think we should do. You voted for us. We hit on our agenda. Now you mad. Calm down. Or find a way to participate for real change in our society. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family Violence, 242-300, 5720, 422-4796. Caller on the line, go ahead. Go ahead, caller. That's a caller? No? The lines are wide open, guys. I came right to you, so let me see if this is. Good day, Howard. You really have a lot of faith in our governments, LOL. They are only the puppets of the old school bohemians with money who finance their campaigns. This is Texas coming through. This is Howard. Did I hear you correctly? Agree with a caller who said we don't govern ourselves? I strongly disagree with your caller. The Bahamas government governs this country. Okay, I don't think that that's what's being said here. It has been said, the caller said, that a great deal of the policies that cause us to move in a particular direction has been given to us, whether directly or indirectly, over the course of time, and we have been yielding to an external demand as opposed to charting our own course internally. The Bahamas government definitely governs the Bahamas. But he's saying that the policy for the governance doesn't always begin within. All right? Says, don't let anyone come here change your topic on talking about the IMF and the hospital machines when you are admonishing these people with their wayward alternative lifestyles. I don't think that's what I'm doing. Okay, tell her. Call on the line, go ahead.
Hey, Howard.
Hey, what's up, Anton?
Right,
Amar.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Well, everything good, man. What's up with you?
Right here. Good afternoon to the nation. Just tuning in. Just getting an opportunity to tune in.
So go ahead.
I'm not saying what you were discussing before the break, the first half, and then, but I caught the last several moments of the show, maybe about 10 minutes, 15 minutes of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And based upon what you were discussing, I wanted to hop in there with some points.
Mm-hmm.
You went back to saying that, and I'm going to localize the conversation just for the record, but I want to go back to where you started off, or where you left off. You were saying that what's going on in Cuba as it relates to the Bahamas, it's a beta test, correct?
Yes, that's my view. That ain't what's been pronounced from a governmental standpoint. And no one says that.
I wanna add to that and just express that. Well, as it relates to this particular president, he's been consistent. You know, we may not like the ways in which he's doing some of the things he's doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the trade war and in terms of us having intellectual conversations and understanding the real blowback and what will be the real outcome and not what was thinking to be done. It can be done, not in this manner. However, Cuba is not a beta test because the current president has been very consistent in his reaction. He's simply stepping up his reaction, and that's generally what you would do when you have a policy that you began to roll out and you had the opportunity to examine if it was effective or not, and you got the next opportunity at the helm. What you do, Howard, if you're serious about doing anything, whether it's good or serious about doing anything, whether it's bad, and you have a second opportunity, what do you do?
You got to double down. You got to double down and execute it. Similar to what we would have seen from Perry Christie with Urban Renewal 2.0.
Go ahead. That double down thought. That's mm-hmm. part of the overall point that I want to make. Please remember that. Let's go to Abaco now. You were saying that we operate in principles, whether we recognize, acknowledge it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You were speaking about principles. I agree with you entirely. You don't even have to be a practicing Christian,
no,
or surrendered to God,
no,
in totality. But you know that there are those among us who operate in principle, and they are more benefactors of what God intends in many instances than those who claim to be righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct?
Yeah.
And so we are operating in a principles-related environment. Right. Let's localize this conversation and bring back in that voice point of doubling down. And so, Howard, if you recognize that something that you started to do did not work, but it has the potential to have a very positive impact ultimately or overall on your people, right? And you get a second opportunity to serve, or you get the opportunity from within your party to observe what has been failing, and you have now the opportunity to serve. What do you do in the Bahamas with that opportunity, Howard?
What do you mean, double down? You just go back and try it again?
If you are, for instance, a PLP,
okay,
and you serve in the high rank and file of the PLP,
okay,
and you observe previous leaders of the PLP and of the FNM, and you observe how they operated, and you saw the results that they got. If you are like-minded, you will go back and do the same thing. But if you have the mindset to elevate, to improve, to do better, and you and your opportunity comes, what do you do with your opportunity?
Well, okay, so what I would do is identify what they did well, mm-hmm. identify what they didn't do well, identify right. some lost opportunities, and identify right. Some things to make a determination, how do I modify this right. and strengthen it to go forward?
Right, right. Do you believe that has happened over the last 3.5, almost 4 years?
No. You need to go, hold on, you need to go back further. You need to go back further.
No. The reason why, I don't want to waste time.
Okay, so let's not go, okay, so I want to say this to you.
I want to engage you.
You engaged me. You didn't click this thing off in my head. Let's deal with it.
Though.
No. You ain't finished. Just give me 2 seconds because the people can call me and cuss me out right now. And say Antoine get all the time.
Yeah.
Anyway. Listen, Antoine. Brave Davis has done what I expected, even incrementally, what I expected from Hubert Minnis. Brave Davis. It may not seem like it at the onset. Because when he was traveling all over the place, when he started with this COP22, when it was a dual campaign and taking on this kind of a position and being able to, run after climate change to find himself in a strategic position. Okay. So that crumbled with the introduction of Trump. And now he's back to doing, even with this little bit of time, what I expected Hubert Minnis to do. He has identified the weaknesses of a great deal of things and seeks to fortify that. Areas that have not been touched for a very long time in our country, whether or not you're looking at the public service, whether or not you're looking at infrastructure in Long Island, whether or not you're looking at infrastructure in Exuma, so forth and so on, and in Cat Island, he has done what I expected Hubert Minnis to do after observing what Hubert Ingraham and Perry Christie did not do.
Let me add to that from my perspective, and because you didn't quite hit those notes that I thought you would have hit. Listen, Howard, we have internal policy and we have external policy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have external realities that if we don't address, they will influence in every which direction the internal realities and the internal policy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would never give the Prime Minister wrong for going out, developing relationships,
mm-hmm.
ensuring that we are at the tables of discussions, the tables where the influences, the external influences are, the people who control what ultimately impacts us, whether it be from climate control funding, whether it be from those international loans that we receive, whether it be the interest rates that we pay, the high interest rates that we pay, and fairly, because our GDP, debt to GDP, and when they look at how our GDP outpaces severely and strongly the rest of the region. But in reality, if you truly examine what is happening with the GDP, it's not a benefactor of the local economy. It's a benefactor of the external economy and how things are unfair on those regards, and how when you look at the structure of the fiscal budget and the fixed debt, recurring debt, that we have to incur every single year, and how it needs very little headroom, and how the government is always subject, as a result, to borrowing outside money in order to function. It was critical for him to do what he was doing. However, Howard, what went wrong was the people he left in place locally. You know, as a leader, how would you expect to have people in place that you can turn your back on and they get the job done? Am I right or wrong, Howard?
In theory, you're right.
You don't expect, Howard, that you have to be looking forward and fighting those on what had been, and
no,
still
no.
have to look back.
In theory,
still have to look back.
No,
because
no,
you can't rest your mind.
No, but in theory, you're correct. But the practical application of 300,000 people living on a 21x7, I don't
Howard,
think Michael Pintard could sleep right now.
Howard. Our population is but a speck of sand.
No. The population and the amount of persons have nothing to do with the inability of our leaders.
I understand my point, Howard. For you, tell me, you,
because you know I got to go. I only got two more minutes before I get out of here.
I understand my point, Howard. Our population is so small, Howard. Our population is so small that it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much effort, much real effort by all the players involved to get this economy going in the right direction, and not only going in the right direction, but firing on all cylinders. What I mean by that, Howard, is, look, man, if you examine what the need is of the country, if you examine truly what unemployment means by the Department of Statistics, then you would get with the real conversation, Howard. Because when they talk about unemployment statistics, Howard, it never influences me, because unemployment could simply mean consistent employment for 3 months or more. That is a farce. That is a farce. And it lays down an unrealistic conversation based on an unrealistic...
We've had this reality. Conversation before. I agree with you. Yes.
Howard, listen to me, Howard. When you examine what the country needs versus how we pair up the conversation in Parliament, the conversation is year over year. The conversation is performing better than the previous administration.
Yeah.
No one ever focuses on truly what the country needs. If we focus truly on what the country needs, then we would realize that's how much of a failure we have all been outside of the first iteration of governments in our country. Howard,
Anton, I'm flat out of time.
Outside of the glimmer of what the Hubert Ingram era of government, the first administration of Hubert Ingram's era of government did in the country, Howard. There is so much work to be done, Howard. There was so much work to be done. And the Prime Minister has some good people on his side, some good people on his team who are trying to get some work done. But the Prime Minister has to reevaluate his team in order to move forward successfully, Howard.
That's a deep conversation. I appreciate the time, Anton. I really do. I got to get out of here. It's 2 o'clock flat. That's a deep conversation that you're having with me. In theory, I think that you're correct. But the practical application about the fact that leadership in our country, who was responsible for working at their own pace in their own space, now responsible for 7,000, 5,000, 10,000, 300,000, 400,000 people, can be overwhelming at times. They wasn't built for this. They wasn't built for these particular things in terms of being able to execute it accordingly. So they get time. And they learn with time. They learn from these particular things. And so I just want to be able to say that to you. Somebody just texted me and says, breaking news, Howard, Iran fires missiles towards U.S. base in Qatar. This is a text that's coming through. There's the next one that says, Howard, at this point in Minister's term, we had both Dorian and the pandemic. So far, PM Davis had no external crisis to manage. Whether or not external or internal crisis, we have no power over acts of God. However, I believe even with a little piece of time that he's done it, Brave Davis has performed better than his predecessor, Perry Christie, and Hubert Minnis in their particular capacity with the little time that he has in these particular spaces. Yes, there's room for growth. Yes, there's room for these particular things. Yeah. But I don't think no leader this country could sleep, because everyone coming for your job. That's what they want. It's a good show today, guys. I want to thank you so much for being able to engage me the way that you have. Tomorrow, we're going to continue to be able to do this. We're going to bring have a good conversation about Joshua. I think the Joshua generation, they're going to find out more information about that, about agitation and this sort of an idea to get on the right path. Great conversation, guys. You guys enjoy your day. We're going to see you tomorrow. Godspeed right here on The Foundation.
The Foundation.